We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Welcome to Overnight America with Ryan Recker on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Welcome back to Overnight America. That was fun. I always like when we get time with special guests, including the first half hour of this hour. Joining us is a co-director of Stanford University's Advanced Security Certification Program and author of an upcoming book called Big Breaches, Cybersecurity Lessons for Everyone. Neil Deswani, thank you for coming on to KMOX.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am someone that pays attention to cybersecurity, and it's in the news yet again. It seems like there's threats from all over the place. And it's always disconcerting to think that some of the largest systems that have all kinds of network administrators find their way somehow breached, find their way that they could have had some sort of problems, and we didn't even know about it for years. It could be foreign governments. And I think, what can any individual do, honestly, to keep up with everything that's going on and even have themselves somehow feel safe when even the big dogs in the game are the ones that are still getting breached?
Well, there's certainly too much to keep up with, and it has indeed been the case that both cyber criminals and foreign nation adversaries have been targeting not only enterprises, but especially cyber criminals have been targeting consumers. And they've been using, as I talk about in my upcoming book, Big Breaches, Cybersecurity Lessons for Everyone, they've been using the same techniques, phishing, malware, software vulnerabilities, and whatnot, against individuals as well, except, of course, individual consumers don't have information security teams to help protect them.
You're right. And I find that a lot of times people are preyed on. I saw just recently in Canada, the CBC did a story about a woman who transferred, $300,000 or $400,000 based on an issue where they thought it was some sort of issue with her citizenship in Canada. And she was wondering, how come none of the banks picked up I was transferring all this money? There should have been red flags that were popped up. And there's not a lot of red flags or people that are actually working to, on your behalf. It's something that you have to know for yourself, because otherwise, a lot of this stuff goes under the radar, and when it's gone, it's gone.
Yes, that's right. And the cyber criminal attackers have been taking advantage of things that we've all been concerned with. In a most recent scheme, what cyber criminal attackers have been doing have been sending text messages to people telling them that they've been approved for a quote-unquote COVID relief program, and that they're now eligible to earn in the amount of about $1,400 daily. So they picked a dollar amount that's similar to the government promised funding that's coming up, except for the fact that they say that they're offering that daily. And so there's this saying, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And then, of course, they have a malicious link in the message. So if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Don't click it.
Wow. What's the most convincing type of scam that you've been approached in your email or text or anything like that, that even may have caught you off guard for a second?
I'll tell you, there's a lot of text messages that I've been targeted with. The one that I just mentioned, my wife was targeted with, and she thought it was suspicious and showed it to me. I was told it was definitely a scam. I think that if it wasn't for the fact that I simply don't rely on text messages as much to interact with various services. I wouldn't be surprised if I would have gotten taken by some of these things as well. So I think that the attackers prey on the fact that people can be busy, people can be in financially challenging situations. And so I don't believe I've been assaulted for one of these yet. That said, the reason I say yet is because the cyber criminals are so good at this that I assume at some point I will click the wrong link as well. And that's why I'm signed up for identity theft protection and a bunch of other services that help just monitor my online life, such that if and when I do get taken myself, there's a set of services that are backing me that can even give me reimbursement dollar for dollar if there's stolen funds, if the identity protection company can't help get it back for me.
So just clicking on a link, what does that do? If anything, or is it more or less the information you put onto that site once you get there?
It can be just clicking the link. So in the quote unquote one of the best cases, you click on a link and the attackers will drop quote unquote cookies on your phone, web browser cookies that will, whenever you do make, say, purchases from your phone, they will get a cut of the revenue. Now that's in the best case. In the worst case, simply clicking the link, the attackers can install malware or viruses on your phone just by clicking that link within a few hundred milliseconds. You have to do nothing else. So there's a whole range and gamut of attacks that are possible just by clicking a link. I always assume that the worst case is you click the wrong link and your phone is pretty much taken over by attackers.
All right, so that scares me. And sometimes you don't even know these things have happened. They make the sites look pretty legitimate. I wonder why is it that all of the different web browsers that we use, the popular ones like Chrome and Firefox, Internet Explorer, Opera, whatever, there's a million different web browsers out there. How come they don't pick up on this stuff? Don't they know that you might be going to a site that's trying to put something malicious onto your computer? And aren't they trying to maybe strengthen security so they can protect their users?
Absolutely. If you look at the biggest providers, Google, Android, if you look at Apple's Safari web browser, they do have safe browsing protections where what they do is the browser will automatically check every link that's clicked on, every URL, every web page that's loaded to see if it's something that's known to in the past have done something malicious. And so these safe browsing countermeasures that are in the various browsers do work to take as many steps as possible. At the same time, there is no detection that is perfect. And depending upon what kind of malicious link it is, if it is a malware attack or it's a phishing attack, the safe browsing programs do best against those. But, for instance, if there's a suspicious or malicious link that simply drops cookies on your phone so that the attackers get paid a part of the revenue whenever you buy something, that sort of attack may not be as well covered by safe browsing programs because a lot of legitimate companies use that as well. So the attackers can range from being savvy, direct marketer types, all the way to cyber criminals who have very significant malicious goals in their mind.
Neil Daswani is joining us, and a book is coming out called Big Breaches, Cybersecurity Lessons for Everyone. How do I know if one of these things are on my phone or my computer? Because, of course, when I'm hearing you say these things, I get paranoid. The first thing I did was grab my phone, and I think, how can I get rid of anything that could be considered malicious that I don't know is on here?
So the only surefire method to do that is to do a factory reset of your phone. That said, that is a very significant step. And so one of the things that we do in the Big Breaches book, Cybersecurity Lessons for Everyone, we have a chapter on advice to consumers for how they can defend themselves against the root causes of breaches that have been targeting both consumers and enterprises. So for each of the root causes, phishing, malware, software vulnerabilities, unencrypted data, inadvertent mistakes that we can all make, as well as, you know, third-party risk, we provide a set of countermeasures that one can employ, one or two kind of key countermeasures in each category. I would recommend, and obviously I don't have time to kind of go through all of those in this interview, but one thing that is good for everyone to keep in mind is that there is actually much more information about you in the databases of many, many, many companies, much more so than the amount of information that exists on your phone, on your laptop, or in your home. So there's more likelihood that you'll get breached due to data about you that is outside your home and outside your phone than inside. And that's why I recommend getting identity theft protection, not just credit monitoring, but full-blown identity theft protection that'll help monitor not only your credit, but also your assets.
Was that supposed to make me feel better that, hey, you know what? It might not even be on your phone. It's probably out there anyway. And you know what? You can't do anything about it. That's not going to help me sleep better at night, because you almost packaged it in a way to make it feel like, hey, don't worry. You can't do anything about it. You're in trouble already.
You know, I think the unfortunate truth is that you know, when you look at, I mean, I'll tell you, the information director at the National Security Agency years ago, I think 7 to 10 years ago, pretty much saying we have to design our enterprise and our government networks assuming that the attackers are going to get in. So when the information director at arguably one of the world's most savvy intelligence agencies is saying something like that, you kind of have to take it to heart. And if there's kind of like one thing that I would recommend that can help with detection, containment, and recovery of these sorts of things, it is getting IFF protection. That said, I think there are a lot of preventative steps that one can take. So first, don't click on links if you're not expecting them from a particular party. It's always better to, if let's say you're going to interact with a bank or any government institution, to navigate to the website yourself or call the number that you're used to speaking to those folks on, or that you've done so in the past, so that you're making the first outbound connection to a trusted source instead of reacting or responding to, say, something that's potentially unsolicited that's been sent to you.
You know, maybe we can keep talking about this after the break if you don't mind holding on.
Sure, I'd be happy to.
All right. Neil Daswani is the co-director of Stanford University's Advanced Security Certification Program, and he's got a book that's out here soon, just a couple of weeks, March 8th, called Big Breaches, Cybersecurity Lessons for Everyone. We'll continue our conversation with him right after the break on Overnight America, KMOX. A big topic. Everyone seems to be interested in it as of late, which is a good thing. Even the novice computer user has an understanding that there are people out there to do bad things. And joining us is a co-director of Stanford University's Advanced Security Certification Program. He's got a book that's coming out here in a few weeks called Big Breaches, Cybersecurity Lessons for Everyone. Neil Daswani, again, thank you for coming on to KMOX.
Happy to be on and continue. I think that if some of the things I was saying was bumming people out, I have some recommendations for three steps that people can take to prevent some of these potential attacks against themselves.
Okay, so step one, take your computer and throw it out. Is that step one? That won't even help you anymore. You told me they already got all the info.
You know, I think that, by the way, I find that myself, even if they're with certain things, it may be better to use the old traditional processes. I'll tell you, I still receive paper bank statements and paper brokerage statements. Lots of providers say that, you want to switch to online, but I want all the paper copies because I want, tons of proof, about my assets in case anything goes wrong. So I think that, there is an argument that, if we think about the voting system, the the guidance from the computer security community was that if we want to have a secure election, let's rely more on paper ballots and not all kinds of sophisticated voting systems that could potentially be hacked. Mm-hmm. So there is indeed some truth about what you're saying, but there are three steps that I can provide if we are going to stick to using technology.
Sure.
So the first thing that I'd recommend is that for every online account that you have, enable two-step verification, sometimes also called two-factor verification, for any online account that offers it. So for banks, for brokerages, for any other number of accounts, if you've ever received a, say, six-digit code that's sent to your phone before you have to complete a login, you know, you enter your username and your password, but then something gets sent to your phone and you have to enter that additional code, I would enable that kind of protection on every account that offers it, because what this means is that for the cyber criminals, they not only need to steal your passwords, but they also need to compromise your phone, which they can do, but it's just more work for them, and they're going to go after those folks where they can, say, just steal their passwords off the dark web. So step one, enable two-factor authentication, two-step verification for every online account that offers it.
Okay, that's good.
The second thing that I'll mention is to download and install a anti-malware package for any computer or mobile phone that you can, such that if, let's say, God forbid, you click the malicious link or the suspicious link, the additional protection that those anti-malware and antivirus scanners can offer will, in some cases, prevent your phone from getting infected or your laptop from getting infected, even though you click the link. And then secondly, even if a virus or a piece of malware comes down, the anti-malware and antivirus package can contain and quarantine that virus. So I think it is important to use an anti-malware package. I would suggest preferably using one that you pay for as opposed to one that is quote-unquote free, because if it is free, you know, there's this saying that if you're not paying for the product, you are the product. And so chances are that in order to fund the research and development for the antivirus product, if it's not paid, that they are then selling information about you or whatnot. So I'd say download antivirus, anti-malware, choose one that's free. I've mentioned also getting identity protection. If you use an offering like NortonLifeLock, it'll come with both identity protection and anti-malware. And then the final thing that I'll mention is I'd encourage people to use password managers, things like Dashlane or LastPass or 1Password, where it will help automatically generate hard-to-guess passwords or hard-to-brute-force passwords for the attackers, and it'll help manage those passwords and make sure that when you get to a site online, they will, you know, the password manager will do a check to make sure as to whether or not the site is indeed the legitimate one before it supplies the password. So those are the three additional things beyond identity protection. Use two-factor verification whenever possible. Make sure you're using anti-malware and use a password manager.
Yeah. Let me say number four. I don't know if you're at this step yet, but I'm pretty much there. Don't buy any electronics from China.
I say that there is legitimate concern about supply chains, especially in the wake of the attack against SolarWinds that occurred this past December, in which a suspected foreign nation state adversary hacked SolarWinds, which happened to be getting used by 300,000 customers, many government agencies. There were 18,000 customers that may have received a malicious code update, and the most recent information on that is that there might be up to 100 private companies that were impacted. So what the foreign nation state adversary did is basically took advantage of the fact that a lot of people are using the SolarWinds software, mm-hmm. and used it as an intermediary to hack into government and private sector agencies. So there is a concern about the supply chain whether it be, China, Russia, Eastern Europe, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah, well, I keep reading these stories about how some of the electronics coming from China, they're implanting little things onto whatever, and it's almost like going under the radar, and we're installing these things in some sophisticated computers and servers and everywhere, and we might not even know that they have backdoor access to some of these different areas because of what they added on to some of these circuit boards or whatever. That's a whole different topic. I didn't mean to go too far off the rails on that. One last question for you, if you don't mind. You talked about all the malware and the protections and things. How much do you pay a month when it comes to you personally protecting yourself on the internet?
So I happen to be a NortonLifeLock customer because I used to work there as an executive. And their premium plan, I believe is about $30 a month. So that's a great plan, but I'll tell you, that's only one of the protections that I use. I also pay for my password manager. I pay for a few other things. Now, of course, I may be, more on the deep end, with regards to, such protections, but I wouldn't be surprised if I spend, $100 to $150 a month on all the protections.
You better have top secret clearance from the government before I would consider spending $100-some bucks a month. And I think there's probably a lot of other people thinking that too. Like, wow, I can't imagine that. But at the same time, you look at even some of the very intermediate and low level things that people don't really take the steps to do to secure themselves. And you should really take into consideration some of these different services that go above and beyond to protect your information. They're very worthwhile and affordable too. So yeah, it's interesting the wide range of services and things you can sign up for.
Yes, that's right. That's right. And I think I'm on the more steeper end of that, but I think that spending $30 to $50 a month will probably help most people save themselves from a lot of pain that'll occur otherwise. I think that if you look at various identity protection companies, they get a lot of calls in from people that have already suffered an incident, and in terms of the amount of time, just the amount of time, if you have to spend, 10 or 20 hours the week after you got impacted. It is just very painful. So I think that there is an old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure, and I think that's definitely true here.
So real quick, if people wanted to pre-order or check you out online, you got your book coming out, Big Breaches, Cybersecurity Lessons for Everyone. Where can they find it?
You can just go to bigbreaches.com. You type that in, and it'll get you to the Amazon page where you can go ahead and pre-order. The book officially does release on March the 8th. And, sometime prior to then, we expect to also be putting up a full-fledged website at bigbreaches.com that offers a lot more information and tips and also links to the various third-party services that I mentioned in this interview. So keep an eye out for that. But until then, you can go to bigbreaches.com. It'll take you over to the right page on Amazon where you can pre-order a copy.
Big Breaches, you can find online if you do a search. Neil Daswani, thank you again for coming on and spending the time with us here on Overnight America.
Very welcome. I enjoyed it, and I hope that many people can benefit from the from the help and the protections.
I think it will be very helpful. Thank you, Neil. He joins us on the Bomarito Automotive Group guest line. Oh, that was great. Joining us right after the break, our friend Tom Sullivan, a local watchdog, what it means to spend $6 million on the Powerplex in his recent cameo on Fox 2. I got to talk to him about that right after the weather on Overnight America KMOX. Here we are in Overnight America. I thought that was a really good cybersecurity segment in two with Neil in the past segment. Joining us now is a local watchdog, now most recently famous for his appearance on Fox 2 the other night. Tom Sullivan, how are you?
I'm doing fine, Ryan.
Look at you, big star now, making it on to Elliot Davis's You Paid For It.
Yes, I had just a big role. I think it was up to one sentence.
It was a good segment. I think the last time, was it the trolley you were talking to him about? You make it on there every once in a while. Maybe I've missed a few in between there.
Yeah, I've been doing stuff with Elliot Davis for probably 20 years.
Yeah, it was a great segment pointing out the different flaws that we have when it comes to the development in the area and the amount of tax money going to five vice presidents and things. That
I think that was one of the most hard-hitting things that he's ever done, and I think anybody watching it might think, what on earth is going on with this organization? And then, you know, what's going on with the mayor and the county executive who appoints the board members? And if you remember back a couple of years back, the state auditor did an audit. This was back with right before Steve Stinger was indicted. And there was all kind of crazy things going on, and people were paying themselves six figure bonuses. The lady who was the CEO, she was eventually pled guilty to various things, but she was making over $500,000 a year. So that's been a problem area for some time, and it doesn't seem like it's getting any better.
Have they actually done anything in the past year? Honestly, I can't think of one project they've pushed or anything that's actually benefited the region.
No. Well, one of the most incredible things that Elliot Davis brought up was that he goes to the website, and they couldn't find anything newer than 2017. Well, then you go to their websites under Our Projects. You click on that, and it says this page is under construction. So, I mean, here you have this big economic development partnership was supposed to be overseeing development, a city and a county, with all these highly paid people, and you click on Our Projects, and it says this page under construction. Like I say, this is an organization that needs to be changed around. That's for sure.
Yeah, and he made it very clear, and you can actually go to the website, thefox2now.com, in the You Paid For It section. I posted a link on my Facebook page to the story that Elliot Davis did. This is the St. Louis Economic Development Partnership, and he points out very clearly, here's all the different salaries of the different people in this organization. When you have $250,000 a year you're paying to the CEO, you have executive directors, 170 grand there, CFO, the chief financial officer, 145 grand. You have five vice presidents. I've never heard of that before. Five vice presidents for one organization like that. It's not even that big of an organization, but five, and they're all making over 100 grand. You have employees that are making upper, you know, $80,000-$90,000 a year. And it's great because he took the cameras in and they walk through the buildings and they're all empty. No one's working. No one's doing anything. And I know it's difficult during the coronavirus time. And I know that it's hard to try to get businesses to come to St. Louis because all of them were cutting back and whatever. But have they done anything in the past year to promote the region and actually bring economic development in? I don't think they have.
Well, they take claim for a lot of things, you know, like, for example, the $1.7 billion NGA project down in the city. They somehow claim that they were involved in that. But like as Elliot Davis mentioned, they weren't really much involved. But They just go on and they have all these people collecting these big salaries. And then he also mentioned they have two different offices and high dollar office buildings in Clayton. One is they're paying rent of $448,000 a year, and on the other one they're paying $308,000 a year. So they're paying more than $750,000 a year, and it's not clear why they need the two offices.
They don't. And just walking through that building, I mean, it looked like no one was working there. I've seen those movies where there's like fronts for drug operations, like in the front end of an office. And it's like you go in, it's the place is spotless, like no one's actually worked there ever before. It looks like it's set up and staged like they're going to try to sell the place. So that was a great You Paid For It. I'm glad that I saw the cameo on that one. And last week we talked about the Powerplex. It looks like County Council past that $6 million that could be going towards them.
Yeah, the county council approved that last night, and there's still many questions about it, and I can't understand why they're just going to go ahead with it when there are so many unanswered questions. This thing has been around for a couple of years now. It started out in Chesterfield, and then they decided it wasn't going to work very well there. They were going to have to do all sorts of pay for all kind of infrastructure upgrades. So then they ended up in the old St. Louis Outlet Mall. Well, it was going to be over $70 million. Then it went down 60 some million, and finally the current cost of it is $54 million. And it's going to be spread over 160 acres, and like I mentioned last time, it's got every kind of sports you can imagine, even pickleball, which I had to look up to see what exactly that is. So they're going to have volleyball, beach volleyball, basketball, hockey, dance, cheerleaders, lacrosse, field hockey. Then they're going to have, they're planning on 13 restaurants, hotels, and it just goes on and on. It's kind of, they're going to be involved in entertainment too, and also going to have a day, also have a drive-in out there. So they're doing all this huge project, and of course, as with supporters of anybody who wants tax dollars, they're always going to claim this is going to be the best thing ever. It's going to bring in all this money, going to have all these people here. And my question for the county council is, what have you done as far as due diligence to really look into some of these things? Because it's a very complicated project. You have the bondholders from the old shopping center there. They're all involved, and it's been going on now for a couple of years. And Councilmember Ernie Tracca says, you know, we're not in a hurry. Why don't we wait and see what all is going on with this? And they did not want to wait, and they went ahead. And so now we're going to have $6 million go into the Powerplex. How the thing's ever going to end up, it's anybody's guess.
I think we have a pretty good guess how this thing's going to end up. Yeah, go ahead.
I hope it turns out fine, but you know, when you're talking about $6 million of tax money, you know, I think you need to have a better handle on what's going on. As same way with the Loop Trolley, this trolley is going to be great, and they came in, they gave him $3 million, and of course they went through that, and they came back wanting some more. So I don't know how protected the county money is. They're claiming that they don't really have, that they need the county money in order to get financing from others. So it's a complicated arrangement, and the council has not really made the case that this is a good deal for taxpayers, that's for sure.
Something else I've noticed, and we've talked about this in the last couple of weeks, is the problems that we have with Metrolink and the controversy of having security that are unarmed and how vulnerable the security is because of that, not only for the safety of the officers there, but the safety of the people that ride Metro. And we start to see a lot of the surrounding areas that all said, hey, this would be a good idea if you really reconsidered arming your security there. And it's just you just find in this region when it comes to Metro, they're so opposed to it, so opposed to it. But all of the surrounding region looks at our issues here, and it seems like they're all coming out and saying, no, this really needs to be reevaluated.
That is for sure. I'm still puzzling to me why Talby Roach, the Bi-State CEO, he is just adamant that security guards should not be armed. And all kinds of people have said, well, it's really not security when you have security guards who aren't armed. But he keeps talking about the experience that he wants riders to have, and somehow having armed guards kind of interferes with that. The board chairman for Madison County, Kurt Prenzler, he just brought up something that he's the current chair of the East-West Gateway Council of Governments, and he read them a letter from the pastor of the church where the murdered security guard was from, and he was saying, you know, you folks need to do better than this. It's a shame that this poor guy had to get killed, had to be murdered. Possibly he might have been able to defend himself. So, I mean, this is just an issue that just keeps going on and on, and they don't seem to get it at Bi-State that most people want to have the guards armed. As I mentioned last time, I think KSDK Channel 5 had a poll, and it was like 98% said that the guards ought to be armed.
Yeah, people want to see it, the surrounding area and the governments, the county boards, agencies, things like that. They all want to see this coming into place, but, man, there's such this pushback from Talby Roach and the Metrolink that they had come to the conclusion that it's just not necessary. I don't know what kind of fantasy world some of these people think we live in, that St. Louis is so safe that we don't need security that have the ability to protect people riding public transportation. I look at this and say, we got to remember, and we have to be realistic to the problems of our city, and we have to respond to that appropriately. We had the security guards armed for, what, a decade? When they first started to work them in, and then eventually last year they took it out, not to a lot of fanfare because not a lot of people knew about it until now when we started to have more issues with it.
Well, Talby Roach better be careful because I think he's on pretty thin ice with the county council. He has had some of his funding cut off before. Council was upset they had all these high-profile crimes, And they keep saying, you know, what are you going to do about this? And it's like, and he comes with his usual routine, you know, we're going to do this, and we're going to do that. So they cut $5 million off the appropriation, and they said, we're going to wait and see how things go. So they have not been happy with him now for some time, and now he's got this situation where he doesn't want to have the security guards armed. He could be running into trouble. And don't forget, St. Louis County is, when it comes to funding by state, they are the big gorilla. They provide just about half of the budget.
Yep. All right. So hopefully I can see you again. Are you have any future plans on joining Elliot Davis for You Paid For It?
Oh, I probably will. I've been doing stuff with him for a number of years, and probably will continue. I'll maybe get more than one sentence next time.
So do you have to petition for that? Say, hey, come on, man. I had one sentence last time. Let's get this going. You have a lot of good things to say. I would vouch for that.
Hopefully, I'll get a bigger role next time.
I'll have to get your autograph next time I see you, too, if you have 8x10s printed off to hand out in case someone comes up to you that they've seen you on the You Paid For It.
I don't think I'll be needing those.
All right. Well, thanks for keeping us updated on everything that's going on. And yes, there is a lot. And you know what? Before you know it, they could be passing another stimulus bill, and we could be looking at a bunch of wasteful spending that's going to the county yet again, and the way that they decide to spend it. That could be right around the corner, too. So we got a lot to try to keep our eyes on, and I'm glad that you're doing it. Tom Sullivan, thanks for coming on tonight.
Thanks, Ryan.
He joins us on the Bomarito Automotive Group guest line. It's Overnight America, KMOX.
Now back to Overnight America on KMOX. Sponsored by Michaels Flooring, the flooring experts. MichaelsFlooringOutlet.com.
Here we are. It's Overnight America, and we had some great guests the last couple of hours. I really love it when we get those in. I'm thinking of the great radio shows that have been made into television shows of the past couple of decades. WKRP in Cincinnati comes to mind. But if you're in the 90s, really, there's only one that comes to mind for me. Bum, bum, ba-dum, ba-dum, ba-dum.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Toss salads and scrambled eggs. Quite stylish.
Quite stylish.
And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe. But I got you pegged. Mm.
I like that even CBS News
but
plays this now.
I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs.
Oh, yeah.
They're calling again.
I love it. That's the theme song for Frasier. He was on for many years, you know, 90s up until not quite the mid-2000s, but it was a well-received show. He won all kinds of awards for it. He was a radio show host in Seattle, Washington, and he would do this call-in show. I remember there was one episode where he was in trouble, so the program director made him do late-night overnight radio. And he was, like, falling asleep doing the show and the types of calls he would get. Oh, man, totally related to that. And Frasier Crane will be yet again making his way onto the streaming scene, this time through the Paramount Plus streaming service, which is going to be starting up. There's a million streaming services. I got to tell you, I can't keep up with it. I don't want to pay for all these services. I won't pay for all these services. I don't even want any of the services, honestly. There's only, let's see, we have Amazon Prime. So because of that, we get access to the Amazon on the screen. But other than that, that might be our only paid service right now. And I would consider buying this for a month or two just to watch all the Frasier episodes to see what he's up to. Now, if you remember how the show ended, now there's going to be just a small spoiler alert here. It ended when he was considering taking a move away from Seattle and the radio station out there to follow a woman because, you know, he's ready for it. And did he or did he not? I think he flew and moved to Chicago. I don't know if he was doing radio in Chicago. They never really had a follow-up. A lot of the great, amazing cast members, we have no idea if any of them are coming back. David Hyde Pierce was trending earlier. When I go back and watch some of those old Frasier episodes, I truly appreciate David Hyde Pierce's physical comedy. It went over my head. I was too young to really recognize it back then, but he was such a fantastic comedian when it came to physical comedy. It was like the type of vaudeville act you'd see in the early 1900s. He was just so good at what he was doing. And giving the way he did his motions and would fall down and get pushed around or whatever it is. It's so funny together. I really hope he comes back because they were just so great together. Kelsey Grammer, of course, is going to be a part of it, but really he's the only one they've confirmed so far. And I would purchase Paramount to check it out. I don't remember any radio show that's had an impact since then. There's been a couple of TV shows like Matthew Perry, who's on Friends. He had a radio show like on a sports talk show or something, but it only lasted like a half a season. And, you know, every once in a while there might be a little radio thing here and there, but nothing significant. So this is cool. I really hope he's still doing radio, though. Talk radio. Hope it's not something goofy. Maybe you can relive your old talk radio WKRP type of feelings in the future. All right. Overnight America continues right after the break. Don't go anywhere. We're going to talk COVID and some of the responses that we've seen so far. And we'll take some of your calls, too. If you want to call in or text in, we'll start taking those right after the news. I'll look at your weather, too, on Overnight America, KMOX.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.